Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. I usually do it from a really nice office in a really nice city in San Francisco, the heart of the tech world, we feel. Today, I'm here in Singapore. Part of my goal of traveling around the world, running a marathon on every continent, and interviewing entrepreneurs in other parts of the world. And oh, Oliver, there's so much that have kind of blown my mind while I've been here. We're going to bring it up in a moment here, this thing that you did that just shocked me with your technology. But first, let me introduce Oliver Tan, the man sitting here in to my right in our office here in Singapore. He is the founder of, I want to make sure I'm getting it right, VSense.
VSense, that's
so
right.
So clear. I don't know, somehow in my head I had VSense and VSense. It's just like jumbled up.
It's VSense. Okay. All right. I get VSense. I get Vicence a lot from America. The worst is Vicenze, right, from Italians.
Ah, right? Yes.
So I got confused with some home furnishing company.
They do visual search recognition that I usually would just ignore language like that is transforming commerce through AI, but it is. Mm-hmm. This is amazing what you do. So I was on your website, and one of the things that blew my mind was there was a woman who was taking a picture of the woman who was sitting right in front of her.
Yeah.
And I had to check in with you to make sure this actually worked, to say, was she actually using her camera to find out where she could buy the, first of all, what the shirt that the woman was wearing was, and then where she could buy it? And you said, I don't know what picture you're looking at, but yeah, our technology can do it. That is mind-blowingly good, but not even as amazing what you showed me afterwards. We'll talk about that in a second. And we can do it thanks to two phenomenal sponsors. The first, if you are hiring developers, you should know about TopTal, but I'll tell you about them later. And second, if you have a second in command, a COO, a VP of operations, whatever you call them, you need to know about the COO Alliance, and I'll tell you about those in a moment too. First, Oliver, it's good to see you here.
Very happy to have you here.
I asked you about that technology. You pulled out your phone.
Yep.
And just describe for people what it was. And maybe you can just bring it up to me. I'll do it. They won't be able to see it because they're listening to the podcast. I'll ask you in a moment why you have two phones. But okay. You went into the... What phone is this?
Well, this is a Huawei phone.
Okay.
Right? A Huawei Mate 20 Pro. It's top-of-range phone. Right?
Beautiful phone. I've seen this on YouTube videos a lot.
Yep. All right. It's a wonderful camera.
Okay.
Right? It takes very, very nice pictures.
Yes.
But what's more important than taking nice pictures? It's the lens. It's
yes.
A smart lens, to be exact, right? Because the lens in this smartphone could do a lot of things.
Let's see it. So you're going to bring up... This is the native built-in camera that's in the app, that's in the phone?
Yes, right? So this is the native camera lens.
Let's do it, okay.
So what if I fire up the camera lens?
Okay.
So there's normal camera lens that you take pictures with every day.
Yep.
Right? It's built with a lot of features. And one of those cool features is this little AI button.
Yeah, because a lot of the other features I recognize, the portrait mode, the video mode, etc.
These are standard features.
And then there's a circle with, I don't know what to describe that little image, but it's an
right.
AI. You select it,
you
and you said
it.
To me, Andrew, hold the camera up to me, which I did. I really like your shirt. It's actually scanning your shirt right now. I didn't touch a thing because I'm a little afraid of touching your phone and screwing it up. It's vibrating. I guess I'm moving it. What happened? It was doing it so fast a moment ago.
All right, you can move one.
Oh, wait,
back.
I might have actually moved. I might have tapped something before. I went to QR code by accident.
Okay,
let's bring
no
it back.
Worries. Okay, so this is the lens.
Oh, you went to the shopping cart.
Yeah,
got
so
it.
Do
okay.
That.
Let's do. So I'm holding up the phone again, and now I see all these little dots on your screen. There it is. Now, it's showing me the shirt. Is it possible that you paid, is it $9 or $69 for the shirt?
Well, you make a choice, all right? These are different merchants selling it.
Got it. So it's the same style. I can't actually tell the difference. Maybe if I looked at the detail, I could.
Yeah.
The same style, and now I could buy it either the 9 version, which is the cheaper version, or the $69 version, because it's the more expensive. And as I scroll through, I see other... This is mind-blowing.
Yep.
And it's built into the phone, into the phone itself.
Yes, it is.
And this is your deal with Huawei to get it in there, right?
Yes, it's my deal with Huawei. It's also my deal with Samsung. It's
okay.
Also my deal with Vivo. It's also my deal with LG.
I've never seen this. By the way, I've tried the stuff that's in Amazon.
Okay.
Right? You can say maybe it's not built into the iPhone. I understand it's not built into the iPhone. Fine. I've done the Amazon thing where you hold it up. It doesn't exactly work. It doesn't work like this.
Well, you need to ask Amazon, all right? I'm not about to say, you know, negative things about it, but a lot of times people try the Amazon visual search itself,
yeah.
They struggle with
yes.
it, all right? I think there are certain algorithms at work inside here. Mm-hmm. The power of algorithms is that you need to optimize that for things that you're looking for, all right? Unlike, say, Google Lens, all right? We focus very, very heavily on products, which means to say, if you lens something in front of you in a real world, all right, my watch, your pair of sneakers itself, I need to be able to find that exact pair of sneakers,
yeah,
you know, that T-shirt, all right, that watch, in the very same way that you're looking for it in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because that's how real world people shop anyway.
I get it. I want to understand how you came up with this.
Okay.
I want to know how you got the first customers to trust you, the first retailers. I have an idea because I did some research on you. And then also why you decided to even become an entrepreneur. My sense is the reason that I haven't seen this is because Huawei is not big in the U.S.,
yes,
and you're built into Huawei. Samsung is big in the U.S. Are you guys in Samsung phones in the U.S.?
So we're not in Samsung phone in the U.S. yet. We are Samsung in India, in Southeast Asia, and soon to be in another Middle East region.
Okay, and that's one of the reasons why I came here to Singapore. Mm. I do feel like I'm missing out on things by just being in the U.S., right? And believing that we have the heart of technology because there's scooters everywhere. Meanwhile, this is going on. By the way, how much money have you raised?
We've raised a total of $35 million in three rounds of funding.
Okay. Can you talk about revenue?
Rather not talk about it, but we are 2x growth last year.
Give me a sense of it. Are we talking about over $5 million, over $10
million? We're close to about 10.
Okay. All right. That gives me a sense of where you are. Mm-hmm. And the companies that have used you, Rakuten is big. They're like Amazon, the Japanese Amazon, but they're expanding beyond just online stores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Who else is using you?
So we've got 100 over retailers, the major ones, all right? The ones that I can mention in this podcast interview itself, that's Uniqlo.
Yep.
That's ASOS from UK, UK's largest fashion retailer. It's a £4 billion company itself, Urban Outfitters in the US.
Uh-huh.
And quite a number of other retailers that use us in different ways, all right? The way that, you know, we've just experienced, it's using the lens to find products.
Okay.
There's another way in which we've embedded our technology into shopping platforms that allows you to navigate visually.
Give me an example of a client in an app, just to go to know what it is.
So we work with, like, in Southeast Asia, Zalora, the Rocket Internet company. It's one of the major, it's the ASOS of Asia, right?
Okay.
Simply, right?
Wait, actually, I don't recognize either of those brands.
Okay.
Is it a clothing retailer?
Yes, it's a fashion retailer.
Okay.
All right. It's one of the top three in Asia itself. Essentially, they have recommendations engines that are being powered, you know, by different business logic. And one of those logics that they use is visual signals.
Okay.
All right. Like, for instance, if I wear a Mandarin collar.
Okay.
This is a Mandarin collar.
And we should watch out, actually, for the mic.
Okay. All right. So this is a Mandarin collar, and we're able to then extract the vectors, meaning to say we process very simply.
But when we're talking about functionally, they have an app that I can see what and then get what. What happens with the app?
Well, very simple. I mean, the app has different visual search functionality.
Okay.
One of those functionalities is the same as what you've just used.
Camera.
Lens a product.
Okay.
Activate the camera lens through the app.
And then it might show me a collar like yours on a shirt that they have for sale.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
And what's another thing that they offer?
Oh, if you go to their shopping site itself, you'll see a recommendation panel, right, on the product display page, right? It's the final page right before you add to cart itself. You'll be able to see recommendations below. Normally, it is, you may also like.
Yeah.
Others who have bought this also bought this.
Yes.
All right. Please consider this.
And what are you doing instead?
We do visually similar recommendations. Other products that look like this. So it gives you choices, right? We're all visual shoppers, right? So you like a certain style, you don't like the color. You like the pattern, but you don't like the cutting.
Right. A big thing for me is I might see a shirt that I like, but I prefer the V-neck in it because I feel like V-neck makes me feel a little more casual. Got it. And so you might show me the same thing, but here's the V-neck version.
Exactly.
Or the long sleeve version. Got
exactly.
it. Okay. And this is the beginning of what you have to offer. Let's talk about, by the way, it's a little intimidating when we talk about AI at all, any artificial intelligence. And when we talk about a company that works with these bigger businesses, it's even more intimidating. Let's go back a little bit to your childhood to get to know you as a person. Were you entrepreneurial as a kid? Were you more of an engineer?
No, I was not born an entrepreneur, okay? I was born here in Singapore,
okay. Right?
Education is a big part of, you know, our culture.
What does that mean? Give me a sense of the culture of education here.
It is one of the most important things, all right? Every parent, all right, wishes for their kid to be a professor, to be a lawyer, to be a doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
Literally, they would say, I want you to be a professor, yeah, I want you to be a doctor?
Well, not to that certain extent, but the expectation is like that.
So then what were they doing? I've got a kid right now. There's a part of me that makes me want to just let him be himself and discover himself, and a part of me that goes, Andrew, don't be weak. Get that training so that he could read before five. Get that, you know?
Yeah.
So what was it like for your parents? Well, let's speak about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, my parents came from an older generation. I'm a third-generation Singaporean, all right, born here. Grandparents, rather, originally from China. So the work ethic and the emphasis on education.
So at the end of the day, what would they do? Say, sit down and work? Sit down and
work hard. If not, you'll be a road sweeper, all right?
Something. Oh, yeah. For my dad, it was, or else you're going to be a mover. I don't know where that came from.
Mover?
Because you have to lug people's couches and put up with their...
Okay,
so you're going to be a street sweeper unless you what? Do your
work
homework?
Work hard, slog hard, okay? Get your education. Education opens up opportunities.
And so at the end of the day, you'd come home from school, you do your homework, were you also taking extra classes after school,
Oh man, this is really part of our culture, right? Every kid goes through extra lessons, you know, with tuition centers and tutors, private tutors.
Okay.
To get that extra edge over the next guy.
And learning what? What were you learning after school?
Algebra.
Got it. The basics. They weren't like sending you to learn macrame, karate, and not hobbies.
Well, my generation was algebra. Today, you know, my kids, I give them choices, right? So three of my kids, they learn to play the piano. They love that very much. And I don't force them to. If you like it, you can play the piano. If you don't like it, you can play the violin. Tell me something that you
need
like.
Something. I'm not letting you sit and play video games at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You can play the piano, the guitar, but play.
Yeah,
got it.
Play
okay.
Something that you like. Okay. Well, I mean, choices. You can take karate lessons in, you know, if you don't like playing piano, but do something rather than playing video games.
Yes.
Right. So that's the culture that we are, but very highly competitive. We're only 5.5 million people.
Yes.
All right. The only way that we get to, you know, the top, Singapore just became the most competitive country in the world.
Okay.
All right. World Competitive Index. We literally beat the United States to be the number one country.
So what does it mean as an adult? How does it come across as you being competitive as an adult?
It means that whatever we do is a culture of excellence. It needs to create impact, right? And it needs to be successful, right? If not, it's not, for me, it's simply not worth doing.
Got it. Okay. It's not interesting that you're advancing artificial intelligence with your technology. No, I see the look you're giving me with that.
Well,
it's good, but that's not what you're in this world.
I don't have lofty ambitions that I need to solve cancer in 8 years' time. That's, you know, that's good, but I'm more of a practical AI entrepreneur, if you will. All right. I want to solve problems immediately.
So one thing that I was told growing up is, as an American, is we rebel against the educational system, which is what makes us more entrepreneurial. We rebel against the algebras of the world. That's what makes us more creative. I'm not seeing a dearth of creativity here, frankly. I'm going to be talking to lots of entrepreneurs. There. Why didn't it kill your creativity? Why were you looking at me even with this like held back smile as I'm bringing that up?
Well, you know, you're right, all right? I'm pretty much a Singaporean, all right? Pretty much shaped by the system and the culture over here. But what is unique about my experience, right after I left the Singapore education system, which by all means is you know, highly competitive, but it gets us right at the very top in terms of maths and science.
Yeah.
Okay, we're very, very good at that, right? We win maths competition and stuff like that. But right after I exited the education system, that's where I opened up my eyes, because I lived in my first 4 years after graduation, I lived in developing markets. I stayed 2 years in Papua New Guinea. I stayed 2 years in Burma itself. That's basically finding out what I'm capable of. You know,
and what were you doing there to figure it out? Working? Doing nonprofit work? I'm looking at your resume. I don't see that here.
It's right at the very bottom, because it's
I see investment manager.
Well,
investment manager. I didn't even look at where that was. That was Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
So you went there not to commune with nature or live in a tent, to still be an investment manager, but to experience something different. And through that experience, you discovered something that changed you, which is?
Which is that it's more than what the world offers than algebra.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. I can do a lot more than algebra itself, right? So I've started to explore things because does algebra actually solve the world's problems, or are there other ways of actually solving the world's problems? Mm-hmm. Okay, and it became very good in investment. So my background primarily shaped in my earlier days have been about investments. I didn't want to become a corporate banker, so I went to the buy side.
Okay.
I did M&A with Singtel. That became my specialty. So a large part of my earlier days is I'm actually an M&A specialist, right? We do telecom asset acquisitions.
You acquired telecommunication companies, one in Thailand, I see here. Actually, three in Thailand. Did you acquire and sell one in Australia?
Yes,
yeah.
We did.
So this is what you were out there doing. I still don't see a man who's like changed until, if I scroll through here,
yes.
You worked at a startup.
Yes.
And that startup was?
It's called eCorp, all right? It's rebranded as Quant right now,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's probably one of the world's first, and it is, I think, at that point in time, 24/7 Internet Security Surveillance Service. We conjured up the term called MSSP, Managed Security Services Provider.
When you say surveillance, what do you mean?
Well, the building has surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Cameras, okay, guards, and so forth, right?
By the way, not only that, I hired somebody. I said, help me understand the culture here. Spend 2 hours with me. Walk me through. Show me what I need to know.
Yeah.
He said, look at this, look at this, look at this. I said, great. He said, Andrew, did you notice any police officers? I said, I didn't. He goes, that's right. This is not a city with a lot of police officers because we have CCTV everywhere.
Yes.
I went for a run late at night.
Yes.
I started looking up. I saw these bulbs with cameras inside of them.
Yes.
Now, as an American, that made me feel uncomfortable until I looked down and I noticed something else. Women in sundresses, because it's incredibly hot. I, not exaggeration, I was going to pass out at the end of a long day running in that heat. But they were walking in sundresses, comfortable, not scared, in the middle of these dark places that there's nothing but cars.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm observing the changes in them.
Mm.
And so you have a different relationship with surveillance than we do in the US. With that in mind, what do you mean by surveillance when it comes to what you are doing at eCorp?
So the analogy is if the buildings and the parks, and the roads, have surveillance cameras.
Yes.
Think about who's surveilling you, watching you for your networks.
Who is watching to make sure that what is happening on my network? Protecting
there are
me
no
against
intruders.
What? Okay.
There are no hackers. All right. Getting into your parameters of your network itself, your online networks.
Got it.
All right. Who's watching your firewall? The firewall is your gate. The firewall is your door. All right. Your intrusion detection system is your CCTVs. So just imagine in the online world, the OSI 7 layers.
Mm-hmm.
Who's watching, all the traffic, all the packets that's going through? All right. So what we do, or what we did at a point in time, mm-hmm. was to create what we call online observation agents.
By the way, all this language mm-hmm. scares Americans. It's not something that in America we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
We just use different language to explain it, right?
I see. Okay.
So I'm just bringing that up because I think it's interesting to see that.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting to me is you went to do this in 2001.
Yeah.
The internet world exploded the year before. Who leaves a banking job? Who leaves the safety of corporate for a startup when startups just all died and everyone's laughing at them? Why did you do that?
A big leap of faith, I guess. Leap of faith. I guess that I was very tired back then, all right? I saw the startup, and I was a very, very early stage employee, all right? When I asked the company's founder, what do you want me to do, okay? He literally said the A to the Z.
Do everything.
Of business development. And I said, okay, that looks interesting. I get to do the A to Z,
okay.
All right, of a 20-man organization back then. When I was doing M&A specialism, all right, doing very well already. I was already top of my cohort, all right, in Singtel for a 20,000-man organization. Think about
Right.
How far could I be? All right. If I need to move to a different department, I need to apply and I need to fight the system. I want to get this job. And no, Oliver, you're M&A specialist. You're not qualified to do this. Okay.
So, got it. I'm also sensing in you that there is man's quest for meaning emanating from you a lot. Like you are looking to find some kind of meaning. And am I right?
Yes. I mean, there's, for most of us, I mean, we almost never regret the risk that we took. But for all of us, we always regret the risk that we did not take.
I get that, but I also feel like there are a lot of people in your position which would then say, I've made it here. Mm-hmm. Time to work on the next generation, push them to take more algebra, push myself maybe to get into the right club or to get the right score at whatever your hobby is, golf, tennis, whatever. I'm seeing in you also a quest for a meaningful life.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. I want to make an impact, all right, before I kick the bucket, literally.
Okay. Yes. Do you think about death a lot?
I think about the impact that I am making or can further make.
Yes.
You know, to the community or to the market that I serve. I want to be successful. The impact that I make as a professional, as an M&A professional, as, you know, as an MD of a NASDAQ-listed company itself,
yeah.
What is that impact? All right, versus the real impact that touches everyone who now has a smart lens on their phone and buying T-shirts or buying products, literally. Okay.
I just want to say that I don't think that's a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't feel brave enough, don't feel the sense of
true
power,
mm-hmm,
to say, not only will I take a risk, but that I want to have impact on my own. They would want to,
mm-hmm,
recycle that bottle,
mm-hmm,
to have an impact on the world collectively with others. But to stand up and say, I'm now going to give up this comfort,
mm-hmm,
and you've done this, and we'll talk in a moment about, again, you got back on in the corporate world, and then did it again. Let me talk for a moment about my first sponsor, brand new company called COO Alliance.
Okay.
Do you have a COO? Do you have someone who's a second in command?
I have a CTO and a chief commercial officer, which is somewhat close to a COO, but not exactly.
Chief commercial officer, what does that mean?
Well, a chief commercial officer essentially is a combination of a COO and a chief revenue officer.
Okay, so
right.
Got it. The commercial is like the commerce part of things. Make sure that we're making money, that right?
So essentially, the CRO looks after revenue, top line.
Yes.
All right. COO looks after operations, you know, making sure things go according to plan. A chief commercial officer marries the two and looks after the P&L itself, right?
Okay.
So it has heavier responsibility.
The P&L, the profit and loss, and the people.
And the people.
And the people.
Right? And the go-to-market strategy. Very, very important. So it covers revenues, it covers marketing, it covers operation, it covers, in a way, you know, HR hiring within the business unit itself. So it's kind of like a mini general, if you will.
So I've never heard of that role, but
mm-hmm,
it is, like you say, a second-in-command role. Now,
mm-hmm,
look at you. As an entrepreneur, you have lots of organizations you could be a part of. I saw that, for example, you're part of the Forbes Technology Council, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of places for entrepreneurs to meet other entrepreneurs.
Yes.
For the second-in-command, there isn't, which is why Cameron Harold said, you know what, I'm actually going to create it. He is a guy who's been second-in-command in a couple of different companies,
uh-huh,
and it takes a sense of confidence,
yep,
and also a not, what is it called, where you move your ego down to let,
yeah,
someone else take over, to be able to be a good COO. But it takes more than that, managing people, dealing with what are the KPIs that you're in charge of, how do you help manage the company without the full authority of being the person in charge. So what he said was, you know what, I did this. Most recently, he did it with a company called 800 Junk. If you were to drive through San Francisco or anywhere in the U.S., you've seen it, right?
Okay.
You got junk,
yeah,
signs. He was a second in command there. He took it from, I think, $2 million in sales to over $100 million as the COO. He said, I'm going to create this organization for others.
Okay.
That is what this is. So for you,
yeah,
or for someone who's watching, or no one's watching, it's listening, it's a podcast, or for anyone who's listening, if you want your second in command to have a tribe, to have someone like him to help guide them, to have other people to run their ideas by, and that could be second in command as COO, VP of operations, general manager, president. If you want them to have that kind of help from Cameron directly and from others, I can't get it for you. I'm not sure he can even get it for you. But if you'd like to see if it's a good fit for you or that second in command, go to COOalliance.com/mixergy. Hit that get pre-qualified button just to see if it's a good fit for you. If it is, he'll let you know. If it's not, well, you're better off knowing before you before you proceed.
Okay.
COO, like Chief Operating Officer, COOalliance.com/Mixergy.
No.
You, yeah, right?
Good stuff.
I think when he did an interview with me, he must have gotten a lot of people to send their second-in-commands over. And so he reached out and said, can I just, instead of pitching you to be on again, can I just buy an ad? And so we said, yeah, sure, let's do it. Okay, so you were there. You then went on to work for a NASDAQ company. That was, is that, actually, which of those companies was it where you were?
It's MNC Media.
MNC Media, yeah. Subsidiary listed on NASDAQ. MNC is Indonesia's largest multimedia group responsible for P&A's. I can keep going with what this is. Why don't I instead have you tell the story of you sitting in a room about this size.
Yeah.
What was that room?
It's a room somewhere in Singapore itself, right?
Was it your office?
Yes, my
office. It was. Your office was about the size of this room.
Yeah, almost the size. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a nice size conference
room. Yeah, but it's a very lonely room.
Okay. Why?
Well, because there's only one guy sitting inside there, and it's me.
Okay.
Right. And I sit in a room like almost every day. I do travel quite a fair bit. You know, I sit in a room, prepare reports. Okay. You know, if you work for a NASDAQ listed company itself, every quarter, it's a report after report.
Yes.
You know, you're preparing for the next analyst briefing itself, and you get very little time to do what you want to do, all right? And over time, you start to wonder, what are you doing, actually, all right? Are you writing reports? Are you preparing for analyst briefings? Or are you making a real impact,
right?
All right, with what you're given?
I sometimes feel that way about email. What's your day? Responding to email or changing the world in some way? So this is what you were saying to yourself. Even though you're in this conference room, in this office, even though you're doing okay, you said that to yourself. And then what?
Well, I just said to myself, look, I mean, you know, at a point in time, I was roughly about 42 years old, all right? Almost at the prime of my life itself, reached the corporate ladder. Travel in a suit, travel in business class, and, you know, I was just wondering, whose dream am I chasing?
Literally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? We have dreams every day, right? But, you know, I'm sitting in this room, you know, like any other, you know, high-flying, you know, Singaporean professional, all right? You know, got this, got that, but hang on first, whose dream am I chasing? All right? And I kind of figured that, you know, if I'm going to retire in this chair, in this room, wearing this suit, that's not what
Being
I want to do.
This person, yeah.
Yeah, and what's more important, right? You know, I had the first startup experience with me. All right, it's kind of like this feeling and burning fire that sits inside you that, you know, wherever you go, you just can't get rid of
Why
it.
Why did you give it up? Was this because of the acquisition, or the acquisition happened after you left?
So the acquisition happened, all right, and I felt that at a point in time, I've done what I needed to do.
Checked off the startup portion of my life. Kind of like I backpack through Europe. I'm not backpacking anymore.
Yes.
You check that off and you said, this is it. Got it.
This is it. Hand it over to the next guy. Okay, it's your ball. It's your run
right
now. Okay,
right.
I've done this. Okay, it's an excellent company. It's doing very well already. 130 people.
Anything about age too that you were getting into the late 30s where you're starting to think, all right, startup is a younger person's game?
Yes, I think that's a very natural thing, all right? Because when you go to Beijing, you go to San Francisco, hey, why are all the founders younger than me?
Right, and so you said, okay, I got to go where I belong, which is I've earned the right to be at a NASDAQ-traded company. I've earned the right to be the person at the top. I'm doing it. You look around, you say, this is not me. I wanted to understand where you came up with the idea then, where you were going to be an entrepreneur. Did you first leave your job and then look for an idea? The idea hit you? I couldn't find it in my research.
So the truth is, all right, chance always favors the prepared mind, all right? You can't, in the present time and day, it's very difficult for anyone to sit under a tree, all right, and have the apple hit you and have a eureka moment that is so original.
Yeah.
You're the only guy in the world that has this idea that's mind-blowing. Let's face it, that's fairy tale, okay? For me, that eureka moment coincided with opportunity at the right place at the right time. At a point in time, you know, I was kind of like, okay, enough, right? Let's open up my horizon. Hey, Mr. Yuan, Mr. Tan, okay, my ex-friends, all right? Tell me, what ideas do you guys have, right? I mean, from the startup
world. You just went back to your friends and said, what ideas do you have?
Yeah, I mean, okay. What cool ideas, what opportunities do you have, all right? Or what technologies have you guys seen?
Because they're investors.
They are people that I knew from the startup world. I wanted to do tech, right? But I'm not a developer. So I can't develop. I can't write a piece of code and suddenly say, hey,
this is... I was going to say, how does a guy like you... We'll get to that. Where does this come from? I know you spent a year working on it in stealth mode. I go, what is this guy doing? Teaching himself to code in that year and creating this code and...
So the smarter way is that there are far smarter guys who can actually code.
Okay.
100 times better than this guy.
Okay, so you went back to then, this explains a lot. You went to them, you said, what are you seeing that's interesting? What did they say?
So one of the best ways that I did, okay, which is pretty much unique in Singapore itself, because we're not like Silicon Valley, all right? Start off in a garage. There's no garages here in Singapore, by the way, okay?
You know what? Actually, that's interesting. I went to this guy. The driver drove me to this one house. Uh-huh. The guy combined two houses, had a bunch of Lamborghinis or something. You know him? He's a real estate owner.
Uh-huh.
The driver who showed me around said, and he has an underground car park. I go, okay, who cares? And he told me about the cars. And he has an underground car park. I go, who cares? Now I'm understanding because it's that unusual.
Yes, it is. All right. All buildings and space is really, really expensive.
Okay, here. Got all it. Right. Okay. So there's no garage here. Right. And it's also not the mentality to just sit and screw around in a garage.
That's right. But we have good universities.
Okay.
We have excellent universities inside here. We have... you know, on the world's best 50 universities, Singapore has two of them.
Okay.
Right, on that list. NUS and National University of Singapore, as well as Nanyang Technological Institute. So one of the best ways, all right, for you is when you're looking for new pieces of emerging breakthrough technologies itself, is go back to these universities, all right, because they are somewhere out there, there's a smart guy, smart geek or smart scientist who doesn't want to be a professor teaching in classes but developing awesome technology.
Okay.
But they don't know what to do with a piece of technology.
Okay.
Right? It's literally a solution looking for a problem.
Got it. And so you started to see, can you give me an example before we get to the one that you eventually took? What's an example of something you saw when you went to the academics?
So what I saw, you know, in at one of the university, National University of Singapore, right, which is like the Stanford of Asia itself, I saw a bunch of very cool scientists experimenting on breakthrough technologies that leverages machine learning. So back about 2012, 2013, that's where machine learning is coming into force. Right, that's where the world discovered how to train machines using ML technologies. Okay, so at a point in time, there's no TensorFlow, there's no CAFE yet. Okay?
Okay,
but we were literally, you know, experimenting with neural nets as opposed to expert systems.
Okay,
right? Expert systems are like you train a machine to A if A do B, right? If B do C, all right?
Yeah.
That's expert system. In neural nets, they build networks that mimic how the brain thinks, right? It doesn't train it to do specific things, but it trains it to think like a human being. If this situation occurs, what would you do, all right, in order to take the next course of action? So it actually trains the machine to think like a human being.
Okay.
And when I saw what they did, it's the same thing, all right? Literally, they could process pixels and images, extract intelligence from pixels itself, convert that into understandable concepts.
Okay.
All right. So not only could we tell a cat, we could tell that it's a Siamese cat. Not only could we tell it's a tiger, we could tell a difference between a Siberian tiger and a Sumatran tiger.
And their software could do that. But they didn't know what to do with this.
Well, it's a piece of technology.
So got it.
So very much what happened, you know, in 2012 around the world, when machine learning came into force itself, there's a lot of new opportunities that machines could do. Now, we move from the age of discovery into an age of implementation back in 2012, 2013 to 2015. That's where entrepreneurs like myself started to say, hey, I could do this. I could use this piece of technology to solve this problem, all right, create a transformation over here, or disrupt this. So very much so.
I'm going, by the way, as you're seeing me, it's weird that you can see me as I look at my notes here on you. I'm looking then to see what in your background would have made you say, retail needs this. That's where we're going to apply this technology.
Okay, so I came from a cybersecurity world. I came from a content media world, all right? So I used to run the web analytics and so on and so forth. So e-commerce is not my best forte, all right? I have experiences in it, but I'm not a B2C guy that set up like a, you know, internet retail platform that reaches 100 million people. So you need to be smart in that, right? And looking around and say, hey, you know, if I need to be there, what new talents could I leverage on? I never believe in trying to do everything alone by yourself. That's probably the hardest thing, all right? And the risk of failing is tremendously very high.
I did notice that you didn't come out with an app that was then going to ping all these stores and get commission from those stores. You immediately went and you partnered with someone, which we'll get to in a moment. Okay. I could see that in your personality. But what I don't see is, why retail? I would have thought that, again, when I walked into this building here in Singapore, I saw a sign that said you're under surveillance in this building, right? Which, again, happens even in the U.S., but I get it. I would have thought you would have said, what we're going to do is we're going to start to do pattern recognition, recognize who's coming in so that we can maybe protect against bad guys or maybe alert Regis on the whatever floor we're on, 17th floor, that Andrew, who's been in Regis in another office, is coming upstairs. I would have thought you would have used it for surveillance based on your background, not retail.
You're right. There were three choices for me. We could do facial recognition, like probably for surveillance and security purposes. We could do ad tech, essentially create in-image advertising opportunities.
Right. Think about it, right?
Yeah.
I walk down the street. Yep. I'm wearing this shirt. Yep. You say people who wear this V-neck shirt should know that there's a new V-neck with a different color, right?
Something like that. You know, all these YouTube videos that comes out, okay, that have all this annoying ads that doesn't match the scene itself, right? We could actually process that frame and then say, hey, if the BMW, James Bond BMW car came out, whoa, that's a new model, okay? Could I have more information about that BMW surface up as an ad that is contextualized to that frame, for instance?
Okay.
All right? Or the third choice, could we solve problems that shoppers are having? And you know what that problem is? Mm. It's a problem that you have and almost everybody else has. Shoppers are searching, but they're not finding.
Okay.
All right? They are searching for a cold shoulder, pencil neck, floral print dress. Can you imagine what I just said?
No.
In visual sense?
Yeah.
All right? Exactly. So we all speak different languages. We all have different textual capabilities. But if I showed you the same image that you saw yesterday and I saw yesterday, we will both recognize it instantly for a minute.
Right.
The brain processes visual signals 60,000 times faster than data content, text content.
You're saying if I got to see even an ugly picture of what you just described or a blurry one, I would understand what it was immediately versus having to reconstruct the words that you use to see what a pencil neck this or that means in my head.
That's right. I mean, you know, you guys in America call it like, you know, a sneaker. The Brits call it a cross trainer.
I know, and some Americans call it tennis shoe. It drives me nuts.
Exactly.
Tennis,
so,
right.
So we all mean the same thing, but we speak differently. And what more if I wanted to go to Japan, I want to buy, you know, that nice you know, suit or tuxedo, all right, the Japanese one, all right, and I didn't have the terms for it, okay? Could I just show a picture to the shopping assistant or the concierge, all right, then say, hey, do I have something like that, but I prefer navy blue as opposed to black, all right? And this color, this shade of navy blue.
So this was just you saying, I see this technology, where could we use it? I think of three different places that it makes sense to. I'm going to pick the one that I think I could act on, right?
Yes, that's right.
And then it was a year of working on the software.
It was a year of stealth mode, all right?
What was going on in this mysterious stealth mode year?
Well, so we had two things. Mm-hmm. Really had two things. One was the technology. It's a breakthrough technology. It was never implemented in the market. Second, right, the shopping world hasn't seen something like this before. So we've put the capability in the hands of a shopper. Would they naturally use that? Because it's a new behavior. And one of the hardest things to do in a consumer world is to change behavior.
So you were testing while the developers, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. were building it out. You were testing to see, would shoppers understand it? Do they want it?
Yes.
You personally?
Well, me and my co-founder.
What did you do personally to go test this out to see if shoppers would?
We had to knock on the doors of these retailers, right? These online internet retailers, and then say, hey, you know, if I introduce this feature to your app, your shopping platform, you know, you need to make some changes on your UX and UI, you know, in order to incorporate those features. Would you want to try it out, or you want to do an A/B test to see whether your audiences would resonate with that, and how would they react to that?
And they said yes.
Well, they said no.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Why?
This is, well, because it's new.
Okay.
All right, it's new, and they weren't sure. Okay, this is, you know, we have an excellent taxonomy right now. Okay, our keyword search is A-OK. All right, our category search is A-OK.
Right. Right.
Why do we need image search, right? In the very same way, why do we need voice search,
right?
So think about the new opportunities that machine learning offers these retailers. So, you know, the world is like this, right? If there's anything that's disruptive, the guys that are working on the current would then say, okay, maybe not, because you're going to disrupt my navigation of flow.
So what did you say to change it then?
To see a lot of stuff, right? Why don't you try an A/B test? This is innovation. Why don't you try it with your millennial shoppers? Because these guys are going to be mainstream shoppers tomorrow, all right? So what we did was to talk to the innovation guys as opposed to the product guys that are currently focused on text search or category search.
You know, it occurred to me, though, the people that you're going after and your clients who you have now are more... I feel like they're less eager to innovate, less eager to innovate on the tech side. Mm. Why not go to a tech company and say, people are already using your stuff, we'll embed it? Let's just, for the sake of argument, say, why not go to Pinterest and say, people are already pinning all these things under every one of them. We'll do a search, we'll find the product, and we'll sell it that way. Why not go to the people who are more eager to innovate?
Well, we approached the innovation guys, all right? And the good thing now, as opposed to back then in 2012, 2013, is that a lot of these retailers have woken up and they are now embracing artificial intelligence on their recommendation, their personalization strategies, okay, their in-store strategies. They've opened up their eyes to what AI can do for them. So that's where we capitalize on that opportunity.
So it's wrong for me to just assume because they're older, bigger companies that they're less innovative. One of the things that I am noticing is that they do have innovation people who are tasked with go break our company before someone else does.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's not that mind-blowing that something like this is going to come about.
That's
so you
right.
And you talk to them. The first person that I understand you got was Rakuten, right?
Yes.
By the way, am I pronouncing the name right?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, they have these ads in the U.S. where they will literally pay people money if they could pronounce the name Rakuten, and they're showing in the ads they still can't pronounce it right.
Well, you got it right, Rakuten.
Yeah, it's a huge company.
Yes, it is.
The Warriors, which is one of the top basketball...
You know them, right?
I only know them because they're in San Francisco, and they buck up...
Well, that's how you know Rakuten as well, through the Warriors, right?
Right, they have the R on it,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
And so you went to them, they said, yes, we'll try it, and we'll also take an investment in the business.
Yes.
That's how you got your first client.
Yes.
And the way that they embedded it in their software was how?
So they did search by image on a shopping app and a few other experiments that embedded our technology, visual search technology, into their back end,
right?
Which is not visible to you as a shopper, but it works very quietly in the background to be able to recommend with visual, upweighted visual signals. So if you're looking at the PDP page, product display page itself, right, at the bottom where you have visually similar recommendations that is represented to you, you may also like this.
Okay.
It shows patterns that are very, very similar, but it gives you choices.
Okay, so we're not really breaking people's brains by saying instead of the search box, hit the camera, point it at a friend, and we'll show you how to find it.
That's
we're
right.
going with what they already are familiar with.
Yes.
And now you have an A-B test where you can say, look, we're showing based on visual search versus other, what other people bought.
That's
look
right.
Look what's getting more sales. Right. And that's an easy thing for you
that's
to convince
That's a far
them.
Easier approach where, you know, it's very simple. They're implementing us on the back end and let the result speak for itself.
And did they?
Yes, it did.
They did, from the start.
Especially in the visual categories like fashion and fashion related.
So I gave the example that I thought was a little simplistic. Uh-huh. I'm looking at a shirt. I want the V-neck of it. The software might know to do that.
Yeah.
What's an example of something that's a little bit more obvious that does work? Because what I'm searching for, I would naturally just type in V-neck shirt.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that I would need a visual search to tell me here are five other V-necks.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? You know, how much metadata do you want to put into a piece of apparel? V-neck? Mandarin collar, quarter sleeve, print, animal print, and so on and so forth. You could go very, very long and very, very granular. In most of these merchants, they don't even give you, you know, all of these attributes to begin with. All right? How much attributes can you get? And even if they did, are they fashionably correct? Are they consistent right across categories that if I shop in, you know, Walmart in the US versus, you know, Tesco in the UK, all right, they gave me the same taxonomy languages, all right?
I see it.
So that's the problem, okay, that these retailers constantly struggle with. Shoppers want to find the products in the most efficient manner. Retailers want to show their products to these shoppers, but they can't get it there because either the taxonomy is inconsistent, not enough depth, okay, to show them, or it's just simply not searchable. It's too far embedded in the product categories or in the database.
Right, and you know what? And I keep thinking about a clothing retailer that has 20 or let's say 200 items.
Yeah.
No, Rakuten is much bigger, and it's not all. It's not products that they make.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm going to come back and ask about what you did next in a moment, but first I'll tell you and everyone else about my second sponsor. It's called TopTal. They have Silicon Valley level developers, but because they work outside the US, you can get them at a lower price. And what they do is, like, you guys might need them. If you need to hire a developer, you go and you put your ad online, you have to wait till resumes come in, you go forever, or you pick up the phone, call TopTal, or go to their website, schedule a call with them. Tell them what you're looking for, and they could put two candidates, not 200, two candidates in front of you that are exactly what you're looking for. You could talk to those two. If you want, you could hire one and get started off in the next day.
Okay.
If you're not happy, you just move on.
Okay.
That's the idea behind them. Andreessen Horowitz invested in them. They're doing phenomenally well. If you or anyone else wants to hire developers, and here's an example of how someone does it. They might listen to you and say, neural net, visual search, artificial intelligence, I have an idea for what we could do. I don't have a person on my team who specializes in this. What do we do? Call up TopTal, say, look, I want someone who's going to work on just this project.
Okay.
If it's great and it embeds in our software, great. If we don't like it, we get rid of it and we let that person go.
Okay.
Here's where you do. You and everyone else, do you like discounts?
Uh-huh.
We do? Oh, good, good.
Everybody likes discounts.
Good. I thought maybe you're like too well off at this point. TopTal is giving my listeners 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when they pay for their first 80 hours. And that is in addition to a no-risk trial period. So all you have to do is go to top as in top of your head, tal as in talent, TOPTAL.com/MixerG, of course.
Okay.
All right, toptal.com/MixerG. Great sponsors.
Okay, good one.
So Rakuten was first. Who was the second sponsor? I mean, who's the second company that you worked with? And I'm assuming it was you who was going after them.
Well, I mean, as the founder itself, you need to be the face of the company. You need to evangelize this, and you need to speak about the benefits of it and the impact that it could create. So at a point in time, we were very early, right? Mm-hmm. There were other visual search companies that were ahead of our time, but they failed for different reasons, right? Either the tech was not robust enough, overpromised, underdelivered. All right, and that's actually very bad because for a new technology that you know you promise consumers and consumers, this doesn't work. Okay, it gets ingrained in them. So for the next guy that comes along, no, I've done that before. And very much what you said to me just now.
You know what? Right? I happen to talk to a Siri engineer because I live in San Francisco. I bump into these guys.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the big problem that we had was we came out with Siri when it wasn't doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, people are reluctant to try it now because we came out in beta and they just don't know how much better it is.
Yes.
And so that's what you're saying. Other people promise more. Okay, that was an issue.
It gets tougher for the next guy that comes along, all right? Because, you know, the tech was improving, but it is not magic, all right? I have shoppers that says, hey, you know, I've got almost like 95% of it right. It's just one little thing that I didn't get it right.
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't work for me. So how do you deal with that, for instance, okay? It's not magic technology, but it shortens the path towards purchase by 80%. The time taken for you to find a product, if we could shorten it with image search versus text search, 80% faster, I think I would have done a good job on that.
Okay.
All right. So that's the first immediate metric or the KPIs or the ROI that we look at. And then the next thing is, you know, how to use it in different ways to engage the users more repeatedly, engagingly. All right. So I'll give you an example. If I gave you three choices, text search, voice search, and image search to find a product, which would you choose for different occasions for different products?
Right. I knew my answer was going to be audio.
Okay.
But then I realized not necessarily.
Yeah, because if you can speak it, because it's very clear and the taxonomy actually, voice recognition actually recognize your accent and so on and so forth. Yeah, you're comfortable in using that. But if you can't, there are many other ways that you can actually do that as well. So we leave that to consumers. And I always like to say this, all roads goes back to Rome. We shop in the real world with five senses. We feel, we touch, all right, a lot of things. In the online world, we're limited by what we're capable of.
But I feel like, so I said yes to audio because I do it all the time with my Echo speakers around
my
house,
you do
right?
It. Okay.
I do it. I do Siri too all the time.
Yeah.
I remember when I took Bart to the office once, I saw a guy who had the perfect water bottle for me because my water bottle was leaking at the time. It had a button that he was pressing whenever he wanted coffee in his mouth, so it was water and coffee.
Okay.
It had a lid on it. It had three different protections to make sure it wouldn't leak. I didn't even think for a second to pull out the Amazon app to use the visual search to find it. What I did instead was crane my neck, look at him, and then when he looked at me, I looked away. Think, should I ask him? But he's got his headset on. He doesn't seem to want to be bothered. And I finally got the name.
Yeah.
There is a habit that we don't have. I wonder how many people are even, now that I saw the Huawei phone do that, if I had the Huawei phone, would I remember to use it? It's not part of my workflow. What do you do about that, about getting people to recognize this is there to get them to try something that they're not habituated to try?
Well, that's exactly why, you know, for companies like VSense, we are advocating smart lenses because the lens could do a lot of things. It could lens the world. It would give you information about what the Malayan is. You know what the Malayan is? Head of a lion, tail of a fish.
Okay.
Right, it's a famous one that you need to visit. You know, what the heck is that creature? I've never seen that before. Lens it, all right, and have information about what this creature is all about. It's a mythical creature that is here in Singapore.
I didn't know that. So you're thinking kind of like the way Apple saw that no one was doing a QR search, and they said, you know what? If there's a QR in a picture, we'll just bring up a little alert and say, do you want to go there? You're thinking, right now, it's a feature that we had to click on to get to. You're thinking in the future, I bring up my camera, I could take a picture of you, but there's a little thing that says, if you want to see a shirt, just hit this.
Yeah, you want to find out more about that object. It could be
whatever
location, it could be a product, it could be, food. You want to know, you know, the food menu in this location, for instance. Can I just lens, you know, the restaurant, the logo inside there, and then find out more information.
If I don't have to do anything to get to it, and it reminds me that it's there, then I do it. And that's what you're going for. You want to get further and further into the camera until it's just a natural part and people don't have to select, tell me what this is. They just are told what it is and they could ignore it if they don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, it's choices. It's built-in choices. They could use the normal camera lens or they use the lens for finding out things, finding location, or just generally, okay, searching for information to enrich them, right?
Fair to say, though, that you're spot, and I know you're about to show me something, and I've got to ask you a question about why you have two phones. Fair to say that your first clients, and I mentioned a few of them earlier, they weren't about using the camera to find the product that you want to buy, but more about you're looking at a page, we're going to show you other products that you should want based on that. That's what it is. That's how you persuaded them. And now you are moving further and further to the world that you envision, which is why wait for them to look for something similar? Let's make them, let's be more proactive. Let's be top of the search instead of after they search.
Yeah. So doing it through the back end way, it's a far easier method because I'm not changing any consumer behavior. I'm just altering the way that the algorithm promotes or recommend products to you.
Right.
And everybody wants recommendation anyway, right? So it's a far easier approach. And we demonstrate the ROI based on, you know, A-B tests, and we're able to see that. Putting a smart camera lens in the hands of every shopper itself and being the first choice of search, image search, all right, it's a harder thing to do because it's behavioral.
Okay.
All right?
But that's your vision.
It is
it's part of it.
It's part of it. Okay, it's an end goal, yes. All right, to be able to offer smart lenses, pretty much the same as smart voices. All right, to be able to help. It's called augmented intelligence.
Yeah.
It's not artificial intelligence because it guesses what you're looking for. If I lens this against the Malayan, for instance, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to find a paperweight that looks like the Malayan, you know, head of a lion, tail of a fish? Are you looking for location? Or are you just simply looking for, you know, what is this creature all about? Information from Wikipedia, for instance. So we try to use the lens through different modes to guess your intention. So if you put on a shopping lens, okay. You want to buy a T-shirt with the Malayan printed on it? You want to buy a paperweight with the Malayan as a figurine on it? We give you choices, all right?
I also am reminded of an entrepreneur who tried something similar to what you're doing and failed and then moved on to something that was more appropriate for him. And I remember one of the things that he wanted to do was feed in celebrity photos to his software so that he could eventually say, anyone who buys this shirt should know this goes with that shirt too, because this is what the popular people are in. That's what you're thinking too. And are you doing that now?
Yes, we are.
You are.
There's so much more things that I
can
say.
That is what I was getting at earlier. Yeah. So it's not just Andrew wants this V-neck.
No.
Let's find more V-necks by visual search. It's more like Andrew wants this V-neck. The cool people who wear this V-neck also wear these shoes, and that's a high-ticket item that you don't necessarily search for shoes that go with it.
Exactly.
Got it.
Right.
That's because, what you're doing. What else? Blow my mind with more of this stuff that's today
so,
that you're doing.
Yeah, not all of us are fashionistas, right? We're normal people who just probably
You're very
wear...
well-dressed, by the way. I like this shirt a lot.
Oh, thank you.
I told you I was intimidated by you. I saw every picture of you as a man in a suit. I go, oh my God, my first interview in Singapore is a man in a suit. He's going to see me in a short-sleeve shirt. He's going to think, who is this bozo?
Yeah, but look, I love sports as well, right? Active wear, which is such a big thing in the U.S. Everybody wants to look good when they run.
Yes.
All right? See a nice lady running by with, my God, sports bra is amazing, all right?
I know that. That actually drives me crazy because I know that they're not real runners. Because if you're a real runner, that's not staying as clean as it is.
Yeah, but looks matters, right?
It does matter,
all right?
Yes.
So could we use algorithms, okay, to match that sports bra against, you know, track pants and nice sneakers? Running shoes, all right? There are certain algorithms. So not all of us are born fashionistas. The algorithms actually helps you make choices with smart cross recommendations, if you will, cross product recommendations.
Okay. And this is what you're doing today.
Yes.
You're doing it now. And that is why these companies are saying yes to you.
Exactly.
Are you taking investment from them also? Is it more partnerships or is it at this point just sales?
A few of my clients have became investors in V-Sense because they are convicted by what we do and the mission that we want to do. So it's not just in the online world today. What we're doing today is to merge online and real world shopping experiences.
How?
Well, Just imagine, you walk in into a store in New York, Gucci, all right? You're a fashionista, and you have Kim Kardashian's outfit inside there. Would you know how intimidated a shop assistant is if you go up to her and say, hey, Kim Kardashian style, you know, bohemian style, and so on and so forth? And the shop assistant feels intimidated because you know better than right. him, all right?
Yes.
How will he be able to then respond to you and say, okay, I think we might have this and I think I know better? What goes along with this? Be able to use an AI-powered fashion recommendation engine that's powered, say, by VSense, snap it, and have choices made available on the iPad.
So that you're helping them help the client better.
That's
again,
right.
This is more of a break your brain type of situation because they don't want to admit that they don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I will.
But you're seeing this is the future for you. When you sell, do you sell on a price per search? That's what I imagine, right?
We sell in different modes, right? We're a SaaS company, by the way, software as a service, all right? Enterprise. So more APIs calls that you make, that's where we charge more. It's usage-based.
That's what I thought, right?
Okay, that's the best way. So I'm only motivated in one thing, finding new ways or encouraging ways for you to generate more API calls, which is a good thing, which means to say more people are searching, all right? There's more back-end usage, whether recommendations or search by image,
okay,
or you know, multi-product search. You know, the world is very, very complex. All right, half the time, more than half the time, I don't stand you up against a white background and take a picture of your t-shirt. We take a picture just like in a bar. The guy is sitting with that mug and has people behind it. You sneakily take a picture of that. It's all complex stuff. How do you distill that complexity and just focus on that thermal flask that you're looking at?
Okay.
That is artificial intelligence, understanding what you're looking for and focusing on it with very little information that's available to try to approximate and give you the best recommendation
right.
possible.
I may not
that
be looking
for
the glass
challenge.
At that moment, and you could tell because the glass is not in focus. I'm looking at pants. Which... Okay.
So the algorithms have to be smart in compensating for all of this visual noise, if you will.
Okay. Tell me about the two phones. I've seen this now a few times. Why do so many people have two phones here? Is one an iPhone and the other is Android? Is that what you're trying to do?
So, yes, I carry an iPhone, all right, and I also carry an Android phone.
But I've seen people with two Android phones, too. It's not just I want to see the two worlds. What is it?
I guess it is... This has to do partly with iPhones. All right, because all iPhones comes with one SIM card.
The latest ones will allow two.
Okay.
And you need two SIM cards because?
Because we travel.
That's right? What it is. And you don't want every time you travel to switch SIM cards
in different countries. All right, no, we don't. Okay. The Huawei phone, and like most other phones from China and Samsung as well, two SIM cards. I've seen some Chinese phones with three SIM cards, right? They could be for business purposes. It could be for social purposes. For me, it's because it's one SIM card for the iPhone, you know?
Okay, I got
right,
it.
Okay, and look, it's only very, very recently that Apple talked about this because Apple understands that people like me, you know, needs to have two SIM cards.
It is a big pain in the butt. I have to make sure to save that SIM card. I have a friend who, when he travels back to Russia where his developers are, he has a special wallet with the SIM card in. This is insane.
Exactly. But this is exactly how people move around in the world.
But
right?
We're not recognizing it because we don't move around that way. We go from state to state.
That's
and
because
will
Apple
work everywhere.
Builds one product for the world. All right? So one thing good about, you know, the OEMs from China and from elsewhere is that they have different models of phones for different countries, like for instance, like in India, right? You know, where they've built budget phones with, they're not feature phones, but they are smartphones, but with lower functionalities inside there that are still affordable, that still gives them access to the internet and be able to do, you know, things that matters to them, all right? Not doing like goofy images that uses, you know, half the processing capabilities in it. That, they
right,
don't do that,
right, right.
So basic functionalities like location, all right?
Right. I don't need portrait mode if I'm in India and I don't have much money. What I do want to make sure is I have location services.
Exactly. That I, things that matter. So
that I have WhatsApp.
That's right, all right? iPhone builds iPhones for everybody around the world, okay? So this is kind of like a philosophy, if you will, right, for two different companies. That's why...
So this is we are not making smartphones, but this is an indication of the way that we need to think to recognize as a world that's different from us. Do you have an example of something that's a little bit more commonplace that we're missing out by not being aware that right next to China, which is where everyone's paying attention, there are these other countries that operate differently?
Think about Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
All right. Glad that you're here in Singapore, right smack in the middle of Southeast Asia. 650 million people across 10 countries. That is going to go up to about 800 million, 900 million within 5 years.
About twice the size of the U.S.
Twice the size of the U.S. Think about the rising affluence. All right. Think about countries like Indonesia, close to 300 million people.
46% of them are online right now.
That's right, through the mobile phone.
But the majority are still not online. And the only reason I know it is I'm going to interview the founder of Circle Life. Mm-hmm. He's recognizing, wait, these people are going to come online. I think I could create a SIM card for them and then everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, think about... So one of the funny things, all right, that this side of the world, countries like China, has gone around circumventing problems using their own approach. Credit cards, all right? Not everybody in Southeast Asia, not everyone in China is bankable, all right? As in, I need to check whether you have your annual salary needs to be this before I issue a credit card.
Yeah.
But they buy stuff every day online. So if they don't have a credit card, what are they going to do?
What do they do here?
So in China, and let's speak about China first, all right? Because a large part of the people don't have credit cards. They do have smartphones. They do pay their bills, micropayments. You're buying, a $10 meal, for instance. All right? They've created these little wallets, all right, that allows them to put money in them and use these wallets, all right, to then pay for simple things like ordering food, buying a piece of apparel, have that shipped to you.
Yeah.
Does that require you to earn $100,000 a year for you to basically have that facility or the capability to do
this? I forget how hard it is to get a bank account because my parents took me to get a bank account before I was five to teach us about this stuff. But when I was in Mexico City, they were also very unbanked. And so what would happen is I'd go to these local grocery stores where you could put money in and pay for something that you bought online. I interviewed the founder of that, Conecta.
Yeah.
When I went to Chile, the investor, Magma Partner, said, I have gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars in investment for companies that couldn't even open up a bank account even to take the money in.
Yes.
That's how tough it is. So what happens here? And then,
so what happens here is that, Asian countries... with large population that are not bankable in terms of credit card issuance, have said, let's ditch the credit card. Let's go on wallets in handphones.
And is that happening here? I don't see it in Singapore, for example.
Well, most of us are bankable, right?
The weird thing about Singapore, though, is I can't use a credit card anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's really tough. Why?
Well, because a lot of us are now using, for instance, GrabPay. All right, Grab is the Uber equivalent over
here. So you'd use GrabPay to pay for a meal?
Yeah,
I finally found a vegetarian Chinese restaurant, highly rated. Mm-hmm. I go in there. Mm-hmm. I say, do you take credit cards? The woman doesn't know what I'm talking about. I show her the plastic. She still is like, no, points to the cash jar.
Yeah.
And a man had to show me where to go get an ATM. I walked over to the ATM, and then I got the money to pay her. When I landed at the airport, I wanted to buy a SIM card. I was ready to buy it. The woman said, you can't use a credit card.
Yeah.
Go to the ATM. I said, forget it. I went to someone else where I was able to use a credit. What's going on with Singapore?
Well, in Singapore, we're probably very, very connected. We have different wallets, right? Of course, you can use a credit card, but most of us have one of these wallets inside there, like GrabPay or some other pay systems. I've got Apple Pay here, but I hardly use that.
No.
here.
In Australia, I could use it everywhere. I could buy literally a pack of gum, mm-hmm. Apple Pay, it'll work. Sometimes they don't recognize that it works, but their device
yeah.
can take it.
Yeah.
So when Mark Zuckerberg says,
yeah.
I am seeing that the majority of the world is not serviced by the financial system the way that it's supposed to. They're unbankable people. Yes, he might have ulterior motives, but what he is saying and putting up front is absolutely true. There is a problem, and
yes.
if Libra is the solution, I don't know, but there needs to be a solution.
Yeah. And that solution is really about finding the most convenient way to allow people to pay for simple things like ordering food, ordering a Subway meal. Everyone has the phone. If you put a wallet inside there, just like the very same way that I'm going to do with the lens, because every phone has a camera lens.
Yeah.
You think about the power that you are empowering the consumers.
By the way, your phone has like six of them, right? What is this? This is like a... Yeah, it does. It has five. No, four. One of them is a flash.
It is a four, yeah. It's I forgot the name of this. It's a wonderful camera. All right? It allows you to take, my God, amazing pictures. But what I want to show you
Let's close it out with this.
That's it, okay? So
thanks
what I showed you was taking a picture with a camera lens.
Yes.
What if, you know, you could go into your photo gallery, all right? Your photo gallery. Tons of photos that I have.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a little too much of a personal experience with you.
So, yeah, got it.
That's a beautiful dress. I'm not a fashionista, but I can say that dress is beautiful.
Are you going to upload it? How are you going to upload it?
Right.
Why can't I just do this? Long double press.
Oh, look at that. You long double pressed, and now it says, here's the dress, and you could get it. And that's on anything that's in my camera roll.
It's in your photo gallery.
Got it.
It could be on your browser, any browser. It could be on Instagram where you fire up the app itself, and you're on Instagram itself and you're browsing. Holy cow, that looks very, very nice. Okay, could I do a long double press on it?
What app was that you did that in?
It's not an app. It's natively embedded into the camera
function. Huawei is embedding your software in?
Yes.
How are you only making $10 million if Huawei is embedding your software in?
Well, because we are moving forward right now, okay? So, and everyone...
You're not charging them for every search, are you?
We're charging it based on...
still API calls with them.
Cost per sale.
Cost per sale. So
we're not charging Huawei, all right? The merchants basically pay me.
And you get a percentage, got it, and then you give a percentage to Huawei. And so do people know that they could double, that they could two-finger press on something to get more info?
Yeah, well, they're knowing
You're
a lot
getting
more
there.
Right now. So we need to do user education because
okay.
the phone has...
That's simple. Let me try it again. This
yeah.
is this is simple. So I go back like that?
Yeah.
I'm so delicate when I touch other people's phones and manhandled my own phones. Okay, here. I'm going to go to a different dress.
Yeah.
This is a dress from, I don't know what this is. I double press two thumbs and now it comes up. That's the way I would do it. Two
yes.
thumbs on the screen.
That's right.
That, and now I get to see it. How are these places selling it for $9.76? And this is Singaporean money, right?
Yeah.
That's 70% off of like, or 30% less than a US dollar.
Welcome to Asia.
$9? That must be what it is. Holy moly. Your shirt I could get for $9, and that's a good-looking shirt.
So, price comparison.
Okay.
Think about, you know, the opportunity that it gives you to do price comparison.
How did you get into Huawei? How did Huawei say, yes, come on in, we'll put you in our phone?
Well, basically, we spoke with them. All right.
Who? How do you have a connection to Huawei? Number two handset maker in the world, right?
Yes.
Beyond iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did you get them to open their doors to you?
You need to speak to the right guys.
How'd you find the right guy?
Knock on doors.
No, come on. You're not just going knocking on doors. Literally, what's the process?
Well, it's a big company, right? Okay. So the way that we work is very simple, all right? We showed them what we're already doing with the Uniqlos and the ASOS of the world.
Okay.
What if, guys, okay, it's not
But how'd you find the right person to go to talk there? Your investors?
If you know me, I will find every single road, okay, to get to Rome.
So what did you do? What are some of the ways that you got to Rome?
We'll find, we speak at conferences. I get
okay.
up on stage, all right? I speak to, at forums itself, all right? I get executive lunches, all right?
You mean you go to executive lunches or you host them?
Yeah, we do that, okay?
And okay,
then,
both.
You know, we work with, investor conferences.
Okay.
Where the top guys all goes there and we talk to them, all right? It's not that difficult at the end of the day, all right? To demonstrate what the lens is capable, the piece of technology. It's never mind the how. More important is why. Why are we doing this? And what is the impact? They don't care about how the technology actually works.
Right.
Okay, that's probably for
to be honest with you, every time that you started going into it, I cut you off because I just want to know what's the end product here. What happens with
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, people buy why you do it, not
right.
how you do it.
Right.
Why we do this is because consumers are searching, but they're not finding. What is the benefit that you, Huawei, Samsung, LG, and Vivo, and everybody else actually does is that it makes your lens smarter. And it now, because, and that's a differentiator, because your camera lens on your phone now allows people to buy products. Huawei, think about that. Samsung, think about that.
And it's you speaking on stage at conferences, going to dinners with people, your investors, were they helpful at all?
I make my investors work for me.
You do?
Right?
How do you do that?
Give them a piece of homework. I want to talk to this guy. You know, I want to have
Got
this
it.
Connection.
So you do?
Yeah, of
Where
course.
Many people I've heard aren't proactive, they're reactive. You're saying, you're my investors, now
do this
do
for
it.
Me. All right, make...
Is Gobi an investor?
Yes, Gobi is my investor.
They're the ones who connected me to you. They've been incredibly helpful here.
Ah, great.
Yeah, that like I didn't know what to do. Who do I talk to? Who's full of it and who's not? They completely connected.
So Gobi is doing my work for me too.
Got it. All and right. by introducing you to me and getting the word out, they're also continuing to work. Got
That's
it.
Right. All right. This is all good stuff, right? This is all things that, you know, I basically want to democratize what we do. I don't want to just put it in the hands of one retailer. I want to put it in the hands of 1,000 retailers, 10,000 retailers, and better still, how do I get to 1 billion users very quickly?
And it's not by creating your own app and trying to get people to download it, but by saying who has the 1 billion users, how do I get to them?
Yes.
And not by saying the U.S. is the only market, but by recognizing, wait, the U.S. is 300 plus million people, but there's this other group of people who in many ways now are more flexible, and I'm going to go to them.
Yeah, everyone has a camera.
Everybody
has a handful. Samsung and Huawei, it's like 2 times market share of iPhone and Apple.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we start with that world first. All right. The Android world is a lot easier, okay, in order to do all of this integrations. Okay. And of course, the advantage of working with an OEM is that you get to work with the guys at a firmware level.
Yeah.
Not an APK or something like that, all right?
Not
you
an
get
app
it
on top,
embedded. So you do a one-time integration, get it into the lens itself, help them tell the story, do a one-time activation, and bingo. Your lens is now, camera lens is now.
But now you have to count on them getting their users to use it.
Yeah, of course, right? That's where we work with the retailers to give exciting dresses like this, nice sports bras, okay, and stuff that people, that's interesting, all right, can we lens it?
All right, it is so good to have you on here. The website is, I'm going to spell it, sometimes, I'm going to spell it, V-I-S-E-N-Z-E.
Vsense.
Vsense.
That's right.
Okay. And I want to thank the two sponsors who made this interview happen. The first, if you've got a second in command, you need to arm them with a group of people who are going to help them, and a mentor who's going to help them. And that's what the COO Alliance is for. So if you go to COOalliance.com/Mixergy, you'll have an easy way to get qualified if it's a good fit for you and introduce your COO to a team of people who could help. And I want to thank the second sponsor, TopTal. If you're hiring a developer, really the best of the best, go to toptal.com/Mixergy. I'm really enjoying being here.
Well, thank you for having me here, okay? I'm very happy to be doing this interview here in Singapore.
Yeah.
Instead of San Francisco.
I am actually happy about that, too. I do find that because I'm here in your world, I get to experience it more and get to see what's happening outside.
Yeah.
It also gives me access to more people for whom the time zone would be an issue. And I think that we are, unfortunately, in the U.S., not looking outside enough to recognize what else is going on outside the U.S.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff happening. I just wish that, there's more of you doing this and bringing, sharing all the better stuff with the American audiences.
I don't think that they want to. I don't think that they want to. You know what they want? They want to hear about what's happening with Uber for the millionth time. They want to be upset about, Uber. They want to be upset at Facebook, and they don't want to hear people with slightly different accents from countries that their friends aren't admiring yet, with software that is a little too complicated, and so they feel like, I can't reach there. I don't want to do it.
Here's one fact, all right? Didi in China,
yep.
which is Uber's competitor, yep. on a daily basis does more 30 times more rides than Uber.
I didn't realize that.
That's a fact. Okay, so it's a big world out there.
It's a huge world out there. All right. Thank you so much for being in here. Thank you all for being a part of this.
All right. Thank you.